Good morning on this beautiful summer morning as we gather together to worship our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Want to welcome each one of you here. If you happen to be a guest with us this morning, we do have a gift for you at the welcome table, so be sure to stop by and receive your gift from us. We're glad that you are with us, and we're glad that each of you are worshiping with us online that are there as well. I am Reverend Corrine Borath, and assisting me in leading worship today is Dick Falkenberry and Mary Brown. Our communion servers will be Frank and Sarah Lader, Jessica McCleary, Skylar St. Laurent, Darlene Stroud, and Dick Hines. Our music will be led by our talented brass quintet, and we are grateful to have them here as well. We will be receiving Holy Communion today. If you are worshiping with us online, I invite you to have your bread and your juice ready so that you may join us in receiving this gift from Jesus Christ. If you are present here at the park, there will be three different stations that you may go to receive. You will receive a piece of the bread. You dip your piece of bread into the cup, into the juice, and receive both elements, eat both elements at the same time. There's also going to be an opportunity on this Sunday. We generally receive a utility assistance, and this is an offering for that fund, and that fund serves our community who is under disconnect, which just can be a nightmare. And if you're having trouble making your monthly payments anyway, to be disconnected means you have to pay everything in total plus a reconnect fee. So our gift to them is to keep them out of disconnect, at least for a month, so they can make arrangements to get that taken care of. That offering today, if you would like to give that offering, you may place it in the blue baskets or the blue lockbox at the Welcome Center when they come around. You're welcome to do so. Any loose offering also goes to that fund. A summer Bible study will begin this week on Tuesday, July 8th. I'm going to offer Bible study and dessert. So if you're interested in either one of those, please join me in the North-South Parlor. This will be at 6 p.m. And we begin, it's just for 4 weeks, so it's just through the rest of July. And we are going to use a study that was created by the United Methodist Church Council of Bishops, and it's called One in Spirit. And so join me if you would like to do so. I look forward to having many of you come, if nothing else, just to eat with me. Join me for a dessert. Next Sunday, July 13th, our associate pastor, Reverend Dr. Brian White, will be preaching. Brian and his wife are here today, and we want to welcome them, so be sure to introduce yourself with at least your first name so they can begin to get to know you a little bit when we greet one another. One other very important announcement for any of you that visit the church during the week, and this will include our Bible study next week. On the 14th, we will be repairing and resurfacing the downtown church parking lot. That will just mean that it will be closed for a week. So please park elsewhere. We do have permission to use across 12th Street from the downtown church. We have permission to use the Herald Bulletin parking lots. They have two there. So it's a little bit of a walk. It's an inconvenience, but in the long run, it will be a great gift to the church and to our community to have that repaired and repaved. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Good to see you. Go sit. High five.
Good morning. that's the favorite thing. I can't do that.
As we return to our seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
Might and majesty belong to God who created and is creating.
Thanks be to God for God's mighty wonders.
Like the image of the powerful wind and the heavens as a garment, God's majesty is revealed in all creation.
We look around us at the wonders and marvel at the beauty which God has created.
Who are we that God should pay attention to us?
We are God's beloved children. The stewards whom God has selected to care for the world. Amen.
Thank you.
morning, I'd like to invite all the children down for our children's moment. All right, my friends. Josie, would you like to open up that bag and see what we're going to be talking about today? Oh, wait, first, I got a question. What have we been studying all month long? What has been our simple truth? Yeah. I am. Yeah, you were out of the country. That's what you say. That's not fair. I am meant to know God. And we've been learning all about one singular person this month, which we've never done before, at least since I've been here. Who remembers his name? Jesus? Well, yes, Jesus. But there was a different person in the Bible. His name starts with an A. Oh, Abraham. Good. That was a good guess, though. I like that. Abraham is who we've been talking about. And this month, we're going to finish that up and start something new. But Josie, why don't you go ahead now and open that bag up for us and tell us what is inside. Oh, what's that? I don't know. What is it? A t-shirt?
Like a bag.
A bag? It's not an apron. It's a what? And a superhero mask. I wore these several years ago back at my church in Tennessee. We had a superhero BBS, so I ran around in this and a tutu for a whole week. It was a wonderful costume. No one could tell who I was, I promise. Once I put it on, everyone was like, who's that? It was just a total superhero move. No one could tell. It was amazing. We had a lot of fun playing superheroes. And I was talking about this with a friend earlier this week. If you could pick any superhero power, what would you pick? The weirdest power?
That'd be
able to throw up stomach acid would not be a great superpower. It would be a weird one. That wouldn't be what I'd pick. It would help with some stuff. I bet you're kind of right. Yeah, it would definitely taste like acid. You're not wrong. Yeah. What about, I know I pick teleportation. The ability to just like think I'm going to go to Fiji and then boop, I'm at Fiji. That sounds like a great superpower.
Yeah.
To the wrong place? I don't know. That'd be pretty tricky. What about you? What sort of superhero powers would you want? Teleportation? Oh, so that's telekinesis, right? The ability to move objects? I think that's right. What superpower would you have? Helping people. That's a great superpower. What about you, Connor? Invisibility, super speed, being able to fly. Melt objects with your mind. I don't know. What? Invisibility. Oh, Connor says invisibility. That sounds crazy. An invisible Connor. That would get wild. I could get on board with it, though. Now, when I said this was a disguise and no one could tell who I was, do you think that that was true?
No.
No, probably not. But I leaned into it. I told kids I was Batman all week long. You think it was true? You think it was true? It probably wasn't. They could tell it was still me because I was the one up on stage that sounds like this and had a mic in her hand. It sounds like something I would do. Yes, that's right. Yeah, but we're going to talk a little bit about superhero powers today and how we might have some superpowers of our own, even though we don't have radioactive stomach acid or invisibility or the ability to pop to Fiji. We might have some other powers of our own. So why don't you go back to your seats, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it.
Where's the choo-choo? The choo-choo got lost somewhere.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I would like to give you an update on the ministry of Davis Park. There's no particular order of ministry. Soccer is a big one. We have four full-size soccer fields, and they're used by Liberty Christian Middle School and High School. The YMCA has a spring and fall season for soccer and provided for ages 3 through 14. The Hispanic League for adults and school-aged children runs from April until October. Holy Cross Elementary has practice and home games in the fall at Davis Farm. We have had a cross-country course here at the park for quite some time. Liberty Christian has run here since the course was built. The Anderson City Tournament has been held here for the past few years. Alexandria has at least one cross-country meet each year. Anderson High School cross-country team trains here in the mornings during the week of, during the summer. The Anderson Community Regeneration Incorporated has been sponsoring a flag football for local youth. They've been playing inside in a gymnasium because that's the only thing they had available. This fall, they will be playing flag football at Davis Park. Moving away from sports, the Pointer Lodge and the deck are used as a meeting place for local organizations such as the Leadership Academy, Plain Song, Anderson High School Swimming Reunion, and Retired Teachers Reunion. Many showers, birthday parties, weddings, retirement parties have been held here at the park. Anderson University and Liberty Christian have held after graduation events at Davis Park. We have held many outdoor concerts on the deck here. The Fall Creek Valley Community Band held a concert at Davis Park a couple of weeks ago. We have an exercise group that meets here twice a week. We have church services here from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and St. Anne's holds church services here every Sunday year-round. Our family ministry team has used the park for many events that connect us to our community. Easter egg hunts, SOS projects, just to mention a few. We also have a playground that is used daily by our own children and children of our local community. Of course, none of this would be possible without the dedication of our Moore team. They consist of Jim Hudson, Dave Selby, Jeff Dyer, Lee Robinson, Kurt Leach, P.T. Morgan, and myself. We also have a tree cleanup crew of Joe Spar and Al Solomon. The trustee that keeps everything operating is Cliff Ambler. Ann Bull is responsible for security and cleaning. Juanita Slattery does security and landscaping. In closing, we have two attractions that are visited by our community, and that is the Butterfly Garden and the Labyrinth.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able for the prayer of dedication. God, we make decisions about our money nearly every day, whether it's to buy that coffee, when to replace the iPod, where to make investments for the future. Help us to be faithful with what is in our hands, as we trust you to be faithful with the world you hold in your hands. Amen.
I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, we're here again in this place you created with these people you love, seeking sanctuary from a broken world. We need a place to rest and breathe, to listen and learn, to reflect on the mysteries of life, and to turn our many cares and concerns over to you. You already know all that is on our hearts, but thank you for the privilege of bringing everything we worry about to you. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on this world, plagued by natural and unnatural disasters, by war and other violence, by bigotry, dishonesty, oppression, by greed, self-centeredness, indifference to others. Teach us how to counteract these things. Give us the power to shine like the stars you have commanded us to be in this dark world. Have mercy on us as we struggle to find and share your light, the light of peace and hope and love. Have mercy on your people, all of them, and teach us how to know and understand one another as you know and understand us. Make us ever more aware of the needs of others. Have mercy on the sick and comfort those facing infirmity or death. Make your powerful presence known to the hungry, the poor, the heartbroken, the ones displaced by tyranny or war, to those who are lonely and afraid. Teach us how to comfort anyone who needs comfort, how to reassure them with the message of God's love for them, the message of our love for them. We seldom know how to do that, Lord. Help us to listen more and eventually to learn your ways. Have mercy on us when we forget to be thankful for all we have. This very morning at Davis Park, this church, this community, one another, the promise of eternal life that we don't have to wait until death to enjoy. We know that eternal life begins when we trust you, when we turn from the values of power and money and selfish pleasure and seek to know and follow you. Lord, we are thankful for your faithfulness and your constant spirit among us. We commit to continue to listen for your wisdom and power and leading. Have mercy on us and bless us. Amen. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The gospel is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, The kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. This is God's word for God's people today.
Thanks be to God.
We are going to talk about superpowers today, and the kids talked about several of those they brought up that I was going to actually mention. They didn't mention flying. That was always one of my favorites as a kid. When you think back of the superpowers that you wanted to have when you were young, especially. And flying was one of those dangerous superpowers because I've seen kids stand in high places with an umbrella. That doesn't work. But there are the other superpower that used to just kind of freak me out was when kids talked about having X-ray vision. And that was one that I didn't want to have, didn't want anybody else to have either. So that was one of those other superpowers. But I read an article recently that talked about as we age, we get other superpowers. Now, those of you who are not a senior citizen, this is what you have to look forward to. I actually asked some of the senior citizens. I was in a group, and it was none of you, so don't cringe. But I did ask them, I said, what are the superpowers that you have now? Now, this is a quote. One lady very eagerly started the conversation. She says, well, my superpower is I can laugh, sneeze, cough, and pee at the same time. End of quote. That's not one I want to aspire to necessarily. Another one said that the superpower that they had was, they wish they had, was just to snap their fingers and the mess would be all cleaned up. I don't know. Many of the senior generation has watched the show Bewitched. I used to wish I could wiggle my nose and get everything done. And that's kind of fits that, right? Just that superpower of getting the mess cleaned up. There's another that said that she had already received her superpower, and it's the superpower of invisibility. She said, I can go anywhere, and I've tested it. It doesn't matter what I wear or what I look like. Nobody really notices me. And she said, that's really cool until I say something really loud and profound, and then everybody sees me. So she had the power of invisibility. And then another said, I wish for the power to bring joy to someone every day for the rest of my life. That's a pretty wonderful power to wish for. But we all have, think about yourself, what superpower, what power do you wish you had? Because folks, believe it or not, you have it. You have power. You have a gift of power within you. And it is waiting for a time when you are courageous enough to use it. And that's what our scripture is talking about today. It's the power, the gift that we have from Jesus Christ. And it's a power that we are gifted as the children of God. And when we receive that gift, we receive the power. In our scripture today, Jesus sends out 72. There's a whole lot that I could share about all of this, but he sends them, notice, ahead of himself. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and they're visiting places, going into places that they may have never been before. In all likelihood, scholars seem to think that Jesus followed them eventually into those places, but they were sent ahead of him. And they were empowered. In fact, it was pretty superpowers that they were gifted from Jesus Christ. Because they could heal the sick. They could evoke demons. They could rid people of the demons and overcome them. And they could preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Pretty powerful stuff. And in fact, when the disciples came back to Jesus, those 70, those pairs, when they came back to Jesus, they felt like superheroes. They had really been able to do the things that Jesus said they were going to be able to do. Pretty powerful stuff. But Jesus also warned them to remember the source of their power. There's a story about a woodpecker. And he was planted on a tree, and he was just about ready to peck a hole in the tree, and his beak touched the tree at the same time that lightning struck the tree and destroyed it. And as he flew off, he went out into the rest of the woods, and there he found his other friends out in the woods, and he says, "Let me tell you how powerful my beak is." Well, we too have to remember the source of our power. Just like the woodpecker was unaware, we need to be aware that the source of our power is truly Jesus Christ. And Jesus sends out his disciples into the cities and tells them what they are to do, and does not expect that they are going to succeed in every corner. He tells them how to pick themselves up, dust themselves off, and move on, offering them the news of the kingdom of God as they go. You see, the power isn't infallible because it has to be received. The gift of Jesus Christ is infallible, but we, the recipients, are not. Jesus came. And why did Jesus come? Did he need us? Think about it for a second. It's like if you have ever had a child and you're trying to get a chore done, the one that comes to mind was when my kids were growing up, I was the one to mow the lawn. And I chose, we had a very big lawn, but I chose to do the lawnmower because that was kind of my one time of sanity in the midst of raising the three kids, and it was just really nice to go out and move as fast or as slow, and most of the time it was fast because I had three kids waiting on me, but moving through the yard was just kind of my time. Well, often I had a child that wanted to help, and so we would slow down, and I could have them stand in front of me between the handles of the mower, and we'd move very slowly through the yard so they could help. Folks, isn't that like us? Jesus didn't choose us. God doesn't empower us because we're so great at what we do. God doesn't need us to get the job done. God has the power to do this. God has the power to find the lost, to meet the needs, to save the people, to transform lives. God chooses to use us. That's what a relationship does. God loves us enough that God wants us to experience what God does in the world. So, God slows down, and we become God's hands and God's feet and God's voice in the world. Not because God can't do it, but God wants to work in and through us in the world. Jesus did the very same thing. Jesus really didn't need all those disciples. didn't really even need 12. He had the charisma. He had the power. The power God had gifted him to get the job done. He slowed down in order to be able to teach the disciples to see what he saw. That's one of the reasons that Jesus called those 70, so that they could actually see the world Jesus sees, the people that need to be loved. Pastor Barbara Brown Taylor tells a story in one of her books about in seminary. She was sent into kind of an internship, an apprenticeship, an experience that she always remembered. And it was, first of all, for this course, she was sent into nursing homes where people were loved and cared for and ministered to. And she began to walk with those people and share. And she found that very rewarding, very wonderful. They were very appreciative that she was there. And then the second part of that course, she was sent to live in a homeless shelter and eat in a soup kitchen. And she said, that had more impact on my life and my ministry than anything else I have done. I saw the discarded, the people who were looked at as if they were garbage, the nameless. No one bothered to share their name because no one cared enough to know it. This is what God sees. The things that make God smile and rejoice, those who are being cared for and those who are not. And where we can step in anywhere along the way. This is what God sees. Jesus called the 70. He sent them, and he calls us and empowers us, just like he did them, to go before him. You see, Jesus is coming back. Jesus will be where we are sent. Not necessarily to grade us, but to join us, to be where we have been. What kind of impact are we going to leave behind? What kind of changes for God and for good can we make in the world? The other thing that Jesus did was that putting this into action, putting faith, putting the power that God gives to us into action, is the only way to experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. The action and the joy take place together. There's something called the prodigy effect. It's a psychological term. Many, many, many studies have been done on this prodigy effect. And basically what it says is what you learn best when you teach others. I think Jesus invented that. We learn best when we are teaching others. Folks, that's a great reason to lead a Bible study. If you really are sincere about wanting to know God's word, lead a study. You'll learn twice as much as if you're just sitting and receiving the information. Trust that God will carry you into that and lead you into that. Then you will experience the true joy. The other thing that Jesus was doing in sending out was making us aware of the defeat of Satan. Now, we don't talk a whole lot about Satan, and there's some that believe, probably some among us that believe Satan is a real entity, a being. Others believe that it is a state of the heart when evil filters into the heart and overtakes the love that should be there instead. Whatever you believe about Satan, Jesus wanted to offer them, and this has empowered the disciples to defeat evil. Folks, our world is in much need of defeating evil. Guess who that's up to? You and I. We are the ones that are empowered to do that, to bring justice and mercy and life into those places where the prince of darkness reigns. When I was younger and living at home, my parents were pastors, and we had missionaries that would often come and stay with us, and they would share stories with us that didn't necessarily get shared with the rest of the church. And this one was the reason I never wanted to go into mission work in India or Africa or any other place where I didn't know all the critters. This missionary, and I don't remember where they were from, but it was a country where the snakes were extremely large, kind of like the anaconda type snakes. And the missionaries had one of those huge snakes come into their home. And so, making a mad dash out of the home, they called in one of the local folks who brought their machete and beheaded it. And they're thinking, whoosh, we're safe now. But the locals warned them, don't go into your house. It could be quite a while. Because you see, the snake lives after its head is removed. And it could still, it's such a big creature that it can still do lots and lots of damage. And so, as they heard things crashing in their home, they stayed outside, and the advice was, don't go into your home until you hear absolutely nothing coming from it. And then the missionary shared these words. He said, you know, that's a lot like Satan. Satan has been defeated, just doesn't know it yet. And while Satan's still thrashing around, there's a lot of damage that's being done. But because of Jesus Christ, who canceled out sin and death, Satan's been defeated already. This is why Jesus sent out the 70. This is why Jesus sends us to tell people about this kingdom of God that is here for them, for us and for them, to include them in this gift from Jesus Christ. And as we prepare our hearts and minds to come forward and reconnect ourselves physically through this holy communion, the body and blood of Christ, let us be reminded that it is the power of God within us that allows us to do so. Let us sing together, Spirit of the Living God. Thank you. you, and may the love of Christ be with you. Open wide your cautious hearts. May the hope of our Creator pour peace in our souls. Let us give thanks to the one who created this time and space. We give God thanks and praise. God of the fair winds and bounteous fields, of the storms overhead and the seas below, with joy we celebrate the connections we have with all creation. From sea to shining sea, we honor the connection we have with you, your beings, from the chipmunks scurrying through the yards to the swallows swooping in the air above. We embrace the relationship with our neighbors near and the far ones, who are close to our hearts, and the ones with whom distance in miles and souls sets us apart. And so we come to this table, the ones with many opportunities and the ones seeking liberty, the ones who have been disregarded and those embraced, knowing that Christ's welcome receives all, knowing that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, with those who disapproved and those who leapt for joy, with Judas and Peter, with Mary and Martha, with Philip and Thomas. And so we too come to the table of God's freedom, the table of justice and love, the table which reflects the true kingdom, empire, realm of God, where all are welcome. We come to the table remembering the night before Jesus died. He ate with his followers in a room away from the world, taking the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and asked them, saying, "Do this. And he did the same with the cup after supper.
This is the cup that we pour down. This is the new covenant. Whenever we eat and drink at the table, we remember Christ in our midst."
Spirit of hope, encircle this bread and cup. Encircle us in our eating and drinking, that we may experience the radical love of Jesus here today, equipping us to share what we have received as we journey through this week. Amen. And now, as the children of God, we share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be assisting during communion to come forward. They will receive communion, and they will be then prepared to serve you. There will be a station near the patio, a station here on the sidewalk, and a station up here in the yard. The Lord's table is ready. Let us sing together. Lift every voice and sing.
Thank you.
O Holy One, we have come to you with thanksgiving for the rest and strength of this communion. Becoming strong in you, we can resist the powers that pull us away from you, lift burdens of caring for others, and learn from you how to change the world. Amen. To receive the benediction. Go now knowing that the power of God is yours. Go and change the world, announcing the kingdom of God. Amen.